Begin tonight in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 4, and there's a list of nine people. They're named in these last verses in Colossians. It's a glimpse into the kinds of people that Paul worked with. I suppose we've all asked ourselves the question, I wonder what it was like back then. I wonder if they had the same kind of problems we had. I wonder if they had trouble with people not being faithful or with people not keeping their promises. Or I wonder if they just had a bunch of good workers. Wouldn't it be great if everybody did what they were supposed to do and did what they said they would do? And wouldn't that be nice? And yes, it will be in heaven. Until then, I'm not expecting that. Amen? People are the ministry. People are what we're all about. And whether you are a full-time Christian worker or whether you are a Sunday school teacher or whether you are an usher or however you serve God, dealing with people is the key. That's what the ministry is all about. And so this is undoubtedly, the Bible is inspired, this is God giving us a glimpse into some of the people at Colossae, this city called Colossae that we talked about before. And he's given us a glimpse into some of these people and into their lives and what they were like. And then it just helps us to see that, you know, things aren't all that different today compared to what they were back then. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just quickly survey these nine people and tell you a bit about each of them. And then I'll tighten it together in a little outline and we'll be finished with the book of Colossians. So we begin in chapter 4 of Colossians in verse 9. And here's the list. You have in verse 9, you have Onesimus. Then in verse 10, he names Aristarchus and Marcus. Now, we remember already in chapter 7 or chapter 4 in verse 7, we saw Tychicus. We're not going to look at him again tonight. So he really adds a tenth name there. But Onesimus in verse 9, Aristarchus and Marcus in verse 10. And then this man whose name is Justus in verse 11, whose name also could be called Jesus. Epaphras in verse 12. Luke in verse 14 and Demas in verse 14. And isn't it funny how Demas' name is so easy to remember because we've heard a lot about him in other places. Nymphas, who's mentioned in verse 15. And then Archippus in verse 17. And so we have these nine people. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read the passage, and we'll just look at each of these briefly, and then, again, short outline, and we'll be on our way. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 9, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Written from Rome to Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that as we look into this list of names, what we understand to be saints of the Lord that are all now with you, thank you that we can glean some things from these people. And learn how to serve you better, perhaps, from some of them. Also, learn some mistakes to avoid from some others. And then, Lord, just help us to remember that our call from you is to work with imperfect people and to work with people in a way that would edify them and build them up as much as possible. But, Lord, we depend upon you to accomplish that work. Help us to be faithful in that work. Help us not to give up because of others. Help us not to get frustrated because of others. Help us not to spend too much time looking at those that fall back, but simply to look at you and understand that sometimes people do succeed and sometimes they fail. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into this passage to learn from it. I pray you'd be a blessing to us. That, Lord, we trust you with our time, and we pray you would allow us to use it wisely, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I was in my 20s, I went to work for some people, and I was in a business. And the way it works in the business world, for the most part, is if you do your job well, you get paid and you move up. And if you don't do your job well, you don't get paid quite so much, or maybe you don't keep your job. And the motivation there is undoubtedly money. That's what keeps people going, and promotions. And I've worked in places that became very good at using money to motivate people, and they would give them bonuses if they accomplished certain things. And that's one thing that you can do. And so when God called me into the ministry, I thought foolishly, I thought to myself, well, this is going to be easy. I've already been leading people for, you know, a long time. All I've got to do is just apply what I've learned to church. But there's a problem. People in church aren't motivated by money. They're motivated by something else. And the technical term is they are volunteers. The truth of the matter is we should, and I wish I could get people to see this, but we should recognize there's something much more important than money that should motivate us. Amen. It's a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, an understanding that we have an eternity that we are working towards, and we're laying up treasure in heaven, and we're going to have crowns to cast at Jesus' feet, and we want to please him who died on the cross for us. And that's so much more important than money. But it seems like many people are blind to that. And blind to it so much so that they even drop out of church, which just flabbergasts me. I can understand perhaps somebody that might not be heavily involved in ministries for a while or whatever, although I've always seemed to get more involved. But anyway, I just don't understand that people would not want to at least come and worship God. Amen? Come out for prayer meetings and those kind of things. So people, wondering what it is in this passage that might teach us some things about people. And I am encouraged to know that Paul also had less than perfect people to work with. Now, just a thought. When you look at this list, at first glance, pretty good folks. You have to dig around a little bit in the Bible to find some things about some of them. For example, I'll talk to you in a minute about Marcus and about Demas. And it's other places in the Bible that we learn about some of their flaws. But as a general rule, with the exception perhaps of Archippus, he's mostly complimentary here in Colossians chapter 4. And then I'll just go ahead and mention, wouldn't you hate to be the guy at the end of the letter that Paul said to the entire church, tell this guy to pay attention to his work. You know, that's what he did there essentially in verse 17. Let's look at the things that he complimented these folks for or commented about. Beginning in verse 9 with Onesimus, he says he is faithful and a beloved brother. And then, if you don't turn there, but you could find out in the book of Philemon that Paul is the one that led him to the Lord. Folks, of all the things we ought to be faithful. What is faithful? We talk about this a lot. I've talked about it recently. Faithful is being there. Faithful, I did a devotion on this in the school the other day. Faithful is being predictable. Faithful is being reliable. Faithful is not. It requires effort. Faithful is being on time, for example. Faithful is being consistent. We use the illustration. I talked about this a whole lot last week about the foot or the tooth. And aren't you glad your feet are faithful? Aren't you glad your teeth are faithful? If they are, and I hope they are. We ought to be faithful. Amen. And if God was to compliment you on something, faithful is a good thing to receive a compliment about. He says Onesimus is faithful. And Paul's excited about that because he led this fellow to the Lord. He says he's a beloved brother. We talked about some of that last week, so we'll move on. Aristarchus in verse 10. Now, he's mentioned in the book of Acts several times. He's also mentioned in Philemon. He is, in verse 10, according to Paul, a prisoner. He has been imprisoned. Why would he be imprisoned? Answer that question in your mind, and then I'll tell you a couple of things. Why would this man be in prison? It wasn't because he robbed a bank or something, amen? He's in prison. Here's the right answer. He's in prison because Jesus wanted him in prison. Amen? You ever ask yourself, why am I where I am? You're there because the Lord put you there, amen? We're going to go to Mexico and we're going to be down there for a few days. And I fully believe God has a plan. We may or may not see why God wanted us to do this, but God has a plan for us on this trip to glorify him and to accomplish his work. And why are we where we are? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are you where you are? Because God put you there. Say, I don't want to be in prison. Well, if God put you there, it must be a reason. I got to ask myself the question. I wonder, and this is an interesting thing, you might overlook this. I wonder if Aristarchus wasn't in prison just so Paul would have some fellowship. Would that be so bad? Of course, we realize the prisons back then weren't nearly so comfortable as they are today. But what if God put you somewhere just to be there for some other people? Would that be all right? Amen? You be taken for granted. We think, well, you know, maybe I need to be there doing some big thing. Maybe the big thing is not so big in your eyes, but it's big in God's eyes. This fellow, he's called a fellow prisoner. He certainly has been a blessing to Paul. He's one of the Colossians. He says, he saluteth you. He has traveled with Paul and with Gaius. He was with Paul when he was shipwrecked in Melita in Acts chapter 27 and 28. Remember that story? And this fellow was with him. And you can speculate. Maybe Paul led this fellow to the Lord. I don't know the occasion. I just know this. God put the two of them together. And he has this connection with the Colossians. And Paul says, he sends a greeting to you. And Paul found his imprisonment important enough to draw our attention to it here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. The third fellow, we know a lot about him. His name is Mark. Matthew Mark. He's the writer of the second gospel. He was a man that had a lot of connection with Rome. He apparently had some kind of a connection with Venice as well. If you've ever heard, the patron saint of Venice is Mark. But we know he had a connection with Rome. He was the one, if you recall, that went with Paul on the missionary journey. And after they had gone for a while, Mark, I'm speculating a tad here, but Mark left. And I speculate the idea was, this is too hard, I'm going home. And it was so offensive, I should say, to Paul, that the next time they got ready to go out, Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him, Paul didn't, and they got in an argument with each other and wound up going two separate ways. So Mark was a fellow that at one point in time, Paul found very undesirable. Now, later in Paul's life, and this isn't the only place where this happens, now all of a sudden, Mark is a man that has come around and Paul sees him profitable in the ministry, so much so that he tells these folks, he says, if he comes to you, receive him. He's somebody that you need to take care of. Now, just a thought, have you ever given up on somebody? Have you? We do sometimes. Shame on us. Sometimes people disappoint us, and sometimes we never see that turnaround. But sometimes they do. And I've told you as a church before of the fellow that was in our church up in Utah and didn't do anything, barely even came to church. And then 5 years later, he was a missionary to England. He went to another church and caught on fire and wound up going off and being on the foreign mission field. Named Kent Gossmeyer. And, you know, we didn't even see any result from him there in Salt Lake City, but he went to Oklahoma and wound up being a missionary. Somebody didn't give up on him. Don't give up on folks, amen? Mark is a good example of that. He's somebody that came around. Justice, also known as Jesus, that's just two forms of his name there in verse 11. Now, he's a fellow worker also, and Paul says this, that he's been a comfort, that these people have been a comfort to him. You ever think about being a comfort to somebody? Do you know how to be a comfort to somebody? Well, one of the ways you can be a comfort to somebody, be an encourager, be supportive, pray for them, be kind to them, take time to talk to them, amen? You know, we could use some more people that are comforting people in our churches. Some people aren't comforting at all. Some people need comfort but don't give comfort. Let's give comfort to one another, amen? I would have told you before, when I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be an ambulance driver for a while, and I took some classes, and they taught us that when you come across somebody who's injured, that your primary responsibility to care for their welfare, and right along with that, comfort them. Comfort them physically, comfort them emotionally, alleviate their suffering. You might not realize that some people around you may be suffering, and you could give them comfort. As a thought there, when you come to church, it's a comfort to others to see you here. Amen. And let's focus on that. These people like Justice, they were qualified in that area and they were complimented for it. He's probably not mentioned elsewhere. This may be the only place we hear about him. Epaphras in verse 12. Again, he's from Colossae. He's one of them. A servant of Christ. Can they put that label next to your name? A servant of Christ. That's another good compliment. Faithful, a servant of Christ. Everybody serves something. Some people serve themselves. Some people serve money. Some people serve the flesh. But praise the Lord, this fellow had a label. The title he was given is a servant of Christ. And then he elaborates in verse 12, always laboring fervently. Now, is that an exaggeration? I don't think so. I think what you found is, if you found Epaphras, he was laboring. And how was he laboring? Keep reading. Don't miss this. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This guy was what we call a prayer warrior. A lot to be learned here and some encouraging thoughts. He was praying that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I would appreciate it if you'd pray that for me. Amen? I would pray that for you. We should pray that for one another. We should pray that for our church. Folks, we need God's working in our life. We're not big enough to fight the devil by ourselves. We're not big enough to overcome temptation by ourselves. We're not big enough to get the job done, not even close. In fact, as I'm in Mexico, I'm going to be preaching a lot about that, about our inadequacy and how the Lord's the one that's adequate. But this fellow, he was consistent, faithfully, always laboring fervently in prayer. In verse 13, Paul endorses this man. He says, I bear him record. I want you to know what I know about him, he says, that he hath a great zeal for you. It's nice to have somebody on your side, amen? It's nice to have somebody on the church's side. I'm sad to say, too many people don't seem to have much of a zeal for the church. The you here is the church at Colossae. And this fellow has a zeal for that church. He wants to see that church go forward. He wants to see those people in God's will. He's praying for them, and he's praying for them faithfully, fervently, and continually. And he says he also has a zeal for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis, and those are nearby communities, if you know that. So Epaphras. Now Luke. How can we say enough about Luke? Interesting that we've already seen one of the writers of the gospel. Here's another one. And Luke is mentioned here and, of course, all over the place. But he just calls Luke two things. He says a beloved physician, and that's what he says, beloved and a physician. Now, we're going to learn a lot more about Luke. Luke was a humble man. He traveled with Paul. And quite often when you read the book of Acts, which was penned by Luke, he'll just say we. He won't name himself. We saw this. We did that. We went here. We went there. Luke was one of those people that you read what he wrote, you don't necessarily see him standing up preaching an awful lot. What you do see is you see him right there with Paul, meeting Paul's needs. And that's what I see again and again here in this collection of people, is some folks that God had given to Paul to support him in his ministry. And we need to support folks and be that way. And he's a beloved physician. Just leave that at that point and go on. Then there is Demas. Well, we all know the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where the Bible says, where Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And that hasn't happened yet. Colossians is written before that took place. And here, at this point in time, Demas is a fellow laborer. He's also mentioned in Philemon chapter 1 in verse 24 in that same regard, a fellow laborer. Folks, I just got to tell you, sometimes people quit. Sometimes people drop out. I don't like it. It discourages me. I don't understand it. But I can't quit because of it. Amen? You know, one of the things that would be great is if everybody that joined our church just stayed faithful and served and got involved. And wouldn't that be great? But some folks don't. And that's a real discouragement. You'd like to see folks continue and not drop out. It's discouraging to other people when we drop out. But on the other side of that coin, when we see somebody drop out, we need to keep on being faithful. We're faithful because of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because somebody else is faithful. Amen? And Demas was a man that ultimately did drop out. And we believe he's a Christian. We believe that he was faithful for some time. And I suppose we'll meet him in heaven and might hear more about the story at that time. Two more, and we're almost out of time, so I got to move quickly. Nymphas. Nymphas is mentioned in verse 15 as having a church in his house. That doesn't mean he had a big house necessarily, but I've seen this before. How many of you have seen a church in a house before? Seen a church meet in a house? Okay, a lot of people. We were in Mexico. The very first time I went to Mexico, went to Monterrey, and a fellow, he had literally taken his living room and made that into the church. And he and his wife were living in the kitchen and the bedroom. He had a child also. And the bigger part of his house was dedicated to the church, to the auditorium for the church. And he used his house that way. I preached in a house in Mexico one time in another city. In fact, near Navajoa, Guadabampo, I think is what it's called. And we went down there and I preached there. And I preached in a backyard on a Wednesday night. And there was one bare light bulb right in front of my face, right up here, and had to hold the Bible just right and the reading glasses just right. But the fellow had the church in his house. I've been in other churches and houses in Mexico. Folks, where two or three are gathered together, Jesus is there in their midst. Amen? And maybe a group this size meets in someone's living room, still a church, still has all the criteria and qualifications of a church. And this fellow was willing to sacrifice his house, Nymphas, so that he could have a church in it. And then finally, Archippus. And this is the one, again, I just think I would be a little bit embarrassed that the very last thing Paul says to the Colossians is in verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, take heed, pay attention, give attention to. And it almost sounds like here's a fellow that might have been slipping away a little bit. The question obviously is, will this man fulfill the ministry which he received of the Lord? Oh, and by the way, if you have a ministry, it came from the Lord. Amen? Amen. The Lord put you in that ministry. And the Lord has an objective there for you to fulfill that. When do we stop? When Jesus says stop. They have a thing in the army that is called a die-in-place position. They put you there, and you stay there until they pull you out or until you're killed. And that's the only two things that can get you out. And we're not going to die in place. We're going to serve in place. Amen? Until the Lord moves us. And does the Lord move us? Sometimes, yes, he does. But until he does, we stay put. This fellow, maybe he's drifting. Maybe he's getting distracted. Maybe he's slipping, not doing things the way he should have, not being as faithful and so on. And Paul says, and it's interesting, the letters to the church, he tells the church, hey, church, tell Archippus, pay attention to what God told you to do and don't quit. And hopefully he did. Amen? So, quick outline I promised you, okay? There are those that will bless and there are those that will disappoint. For example, Onesimus was faithful. He was a blessing. Archippus was not faithful. There are those who toil and suffer with us. They encourage us. They bless us. Aristarchus and Epaphras. Those that sometimes have no heart for the work. Again, perhaps Archippus. There are those who encourage us, and there are maybe those that discourage us. Those who stick by us and work hard. Justus. Even Aristarchus, the fellow prisoner. Epaphras, this man who was a servant and was a prayer warrior. And then there are those that discourage us, like Demas, who forsook Paul because he loved the world. There are those that help the work, and there are those that hinder the work. Wouldn't you like to have a fellow like Luke around? Praise the Lord, maybe Sunday. Maybe Sunday. Brother Hickson will be up here preaching, and he'll come down to give the invitation, and maybe a Luke will come forward and join our church. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. That'd be encouraging. Luke, kind of a background kind of a guy, but always there to help, always there to meet a need. Maybe some of you are a Luke, and you can go ahead and step up and take that role. That's what the Lord would like to use you for if you could. But there are those that hinder, and I just think about Mark, for example, and how right there on that missionary journey, just when things were starting to get good, and they were about to go into a time in Paul's missionary life when he suffered greatly. He was stoned and left for dead. Some very fascinating things happened there in that region just south of Galatia on that first journey. But Mark said, "Nah, I'm not going." And he went back home. But even then, Barnabas didn't give up on him. And later on, he came back around. I am encouraged to know that just like us, Paul dealt with people of all kinds. Amen? And you know what Paul did? Paul kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do the same thing. Don't let people stop you from serving God. Don't let somebody else's failure cause you to fail. Don't let somebody else for quitting cause you to quit. Don't let somebody else doing something that's opposed to God's will cause you to oppose God's will. We just keep on serving, amen? And pray that the Lord would send us the folks that we need to get the work done and trust him for what he does. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.